On this week's episode, we have an interview with Scott Bedley and Edito Gonzalez, also known as Eddie's Class, and they're from Bakersfield, California.
And we also have an interview with Brent Warner of EdTech TV.
This is David Platt, teacher and tech mentor at Covina High School. Welcome to Tech Tips with Tech Squad, the student-run podcast to discuss tech tips, tools, tricks, and issues in educational technology.
All right, everybody. Welcome back to Tech Tips with Tech Squad. I'm Ryan.
I'm Daisy.
And we're coming here to near the end of the year. We're middle of May. And so just a few things that are coming up. At the end of this week on Friday, there is the grand concert in our gym at 7 o'clock. And that's going to be fun. We're wrapping up the ending of AP testing this week. So, getting those last few tests in. What's happening next week?
I guess we're all taking our tests, like all our senior tests and stuff like that.
Yeah, last test. Woo! Ready for that.
Same.
And just basically getting ready for senior checkout and graduation. Those are the main things happening here around school. All right, everybody. Our next guests here with us on the podcast are Mr. Scott Bailey and Jameson Luke. How are you guys doing?
We're doing great. Awesome.
Bedley? Did I say Bailey?
Yeah, you did.
Oh, I'm sorry. Bedley. Like my bad.
A Bedley. I don't know what that is.
Well.
His name is King Size.
So, how are you guys doing today?
We're doing great.
Yes, fantastic.
That's good. So, just start off, what are you guys doing? Where are you from?
Okay. I am from, I live in Corona, California, but I work in Irvine, California. I am a 5-6 combo teacher.
Okay.
And that's me. Yeah.
Nice.
In a nutshell, yep. I teach. That's what I do.
Awesome. What about yourself?
My name is Scott Bedley. I teach a 4-5 combination class, also in Irvine, down in the OC, depending on where you're at. Could be up in the OC, too. Over in the OC.
In that general OC area.
Yeah. Yep. Not Florida, either.
All right, so
there's Orange County in Florida.
I didn't know that.
Second question, favorite piece of technology to use in the classroom?
You know what? We use so much technology now. It's like we're dependent on it completely. Yeah. But I've been having a lot of fun seeing my kids work with Raspberry Pis lately.
Oh, okay.
Oh.
We had a group of kids put together their entire computer, and then ran some Minecraft stuff on it, which was pretty sweet. And then I have a couple other groups right now just trying to build their own computers with Raspberry Pi. So
nice.
Yeah. Pretty cool.
That's been fun.
Yeah, I think I'm kind of on the same page. It feels like we're trying to just use technology all the time. And so I think one of my favorite pieces for at least my students to use is definitely we have a Lego Mindstorm, and then we also are doing some stuff with 3D printing, and that's pretty exciting, and it's fun to see what the kids come up with, and it's also fun to problem solve because we have to do a lot of that when it comes to those types of things.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah.
Like the master 3D printer guy, he knows. He's like amazing at all the stuff he's doing. He's, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't feel like that. But.
He was just teaching me, he was just teaching me some stuff in GarageBand today, so don't let him sell him short.
So you, basically, the reason why these are your favorite pieces is just to show kids like how to problem solve and everything, right? Like,
I think ultimately, yeah, that's what we're really getting down to. I think we need more problem solvers in the world for sure, and I think that's one way to do it. To introduce them to those types of things is great.
Yeah, it just feels like you always have to find a workaround to make things run the way you envision them. There's never like this straight path to them. So when kids have to go through the process that they get to go through using these kind of tools, it's they have to find workarounds. It's not always going to be perfect. It's not going to print exactly right, or it's not going to, the wires aren't going to be plugged in the right spot. So you can't just give up on something. You have to kind of, if you really want to make it happen.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what do you guys think teachers today should know about technology?
That you have to be a problem solver. Oh, I can't tell you how many times I have to like quick change plans because something doesn't work the way it was supposed to, or to take, you know, 10 extra minutes trying to unbreak something that was probably my fault to begin with of why it was broken. But that's one of the things, like, be flexible. I think at the end of the day, it's just teachers need to be understanding that nothing's ever going to go as planned, or I shouldn't say ever, mostly won't go as planned.
So basically be ready for anything.
I want to speak directly to the veteran teachers out there. Hello, veteran teachers. Whatever you do, just know that if you just dabble in a little technology more than you're doing, it'll reinvigorate you and like what you're doing in your classroom. And really gets to at what you probably entered the profession for, was to inspire kids and ignite their curiosity and all the good things that you can have happen with using some of the technology that's out there right now.
Awesome.
Yeah. All right. So what is one thing, or like, what is something awesome you and your students are doing, or like you're doing with them?
We're having a lot of fun with Quizlet Live right now. It's not anything earth-shattering, but just the excitement around the competition and working in teams and the speed and pace of it just makes some things that could be really basic and boring, it just ramps up the engagement a little bit. So we've been just having a lot of fun with trying to figure out ways to integrate game, play, and fun in the classroom far more than probably should ever happen in a traditional classroom. Whatever happened.
Yeah.
I think one of the things that we're doing that I've kind of focused a lot on this year is with our Genius Hour is building in mentors into our Genius Hour. And what technology has kind of done is it's kind of allowed us to connect with people, just like we're doing right here. Connect with people that are outside of your kind of circle. And so that's been really great. We just Skyped in with one of the founders of Water for South Sudan, and one of my teams we're working with them. And tomorrow we have a director that we're Skyping with to talk about one of the projects that they're working on. So I think that's been huge. Is technology brings those connections, and that's been really eye-opening. It's takes time to build those connections, but it's great that technology allows us to get there and to have that opportunity to speak and to integrate those ideas into our classroom.
Oh yeah, definitely. In terms of like bringing games into it, like what fifth or sixth grader isn't competitive. So like that makes learning more like more something enjoyable for them. Like I would love to have had more like Kahoot style things when I was in.
Yeah, when I was in like fifth and sixth grade, that would have been so nice. Would have made like learning so much easier, and
actually I would have enjoyed it. Want me to learn?
Yeah.
No, that's really cool though. So, what ideas do you have to take the learning experience a step further?
I've been exploring the last couple years just with sounds. So I really believe that sound inspires imagination. So rather than just a written prompt that you have to read for writing, you read it and it doesn't really like jump out at you. If you were just presented with a random sound and you had to create a story around it. You're having to actually visualize it, express it in words, then it gives your mind a lot better space to go and move to. Rather than just this like logical word side, you have like a blend of senses that you're using to be inspired to write. So just different ways to like access different parts of the brain and balance it out rather than just heavy on one side.
Yeah, I think one of the things that I guess I've been trying to go further with is I like art, and so I draw a lot. And so I've been trying to take some of like my passion for drawing and my passion for music and kind of incorporate that into the classroom. And I think ultimately like that has a huge effect. Like it makes it more interesting for me because I enjoy it. And I think it'll be different for every teacher. It's like what are you intrigued by or what interests you? And we'll do like Pictionary style things where I give them 10 seconds to draw something. And then we will kind of incorporate that into our note-taking. And we do a lot of sketch note stuff and visual note-taking things. And that's just a piece that I've kind of felt has made my learning experience deeper in that sense, because I'm bringing in my passion. But it's also intrigued kids and allowed them to be a little bit more creative, because along with problem solving, I think we need creativity too.
Definitely. Yeah. I know in the AP Lit class that I have right now, my teacher, we've done it only a couple times, but we've done a thing called Music Mondays. So like she would play a song, the same song a couple times at the beginning of class. And off of that, we basically like fill up a page and like write a short little story, like basic ideas of like a short little story that could easily go into like a full fledged story if we were given the time. But yeah, definitely just using other things than just like another source of like reading or something or somebody else's writing to expand their imagination and how to help them think for themselves.
For sure.
Do you guys have anything to ask us? Or?
Yeah, I mean, how's podcasting?
Tedious.
Tedious and tired, is what I want to say.
Yeah, definitely. But, I mean, in the long run, it's fun. It's worthwhile.
Yeah.
That'll take how often do you guys do your show?
Every 2 weeks?
Yeah, about every 2 weeks. We try to stay consistent. We're a couple days late sometimes, but it's within 2 weeks.
Yeah.
That's awesome. You guys learning a lot in the process?
Oh, yeah. Communication with people and everything. No, but it's really a great experience to finish off high school with.
Yeah, I enjoy that. I'm not the one editing the the podcast, so.
Yeah, that's definitely a fun part. of the podcast.
Hey, let me ask you this. I'm curious about this. Do you think getting homework in elementary school better prepares you for doing homework in high school? Does it ease the pain of high school homework?
No.
Yeah.
No, I don't think so.
It's just a different level. So when you go home in elementary school and you're given like these worksheets and stuff, and it's like, oh, hey, let me just work on this really quick. And then you go to like middle school and high school and it's becoming more just, oh, here's the book. And we've went over this section. Now basically go over it again by yourself. I mean,
questions out of the back.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's
questions out of the back.
The elementary school work, like, it's worksheet, like, you have to do it, you know, you don't have, like, a way to get the answers out of it, right? But in high school, it's more of, well, here's the worksheet, but it's probably online, so we're probably going to find it online, or it's in the back of the book. So it's more or less, like, it doesn't really prepare you. High school is just kind of, like, take this and just do it. It's not learn, you know?
I mean, it's slowly, like, evolving to, like, more independent, like, oh, here's what you guys should be doing. And it's not necessarily something found online.
Yes, sometimes. It depends on the teacher. But yeah, generally. like, if the teacher still doesn't want, it's like stuck in their ways, you know, it's going to be online because it's a worksheet that they've had for a long time or whatever. I think that sometimes, like for me, because I take, you know, I don't have any AP classes, so a lot of the work, it's not engaging. Like, a lot of the work I take is not engaging. There's nothing for me to do. Like, it feels like I absorb and there's, what am I going to do with it is what it feels like. Right. So I think, like,
there's no production value.
Yeah.
Like, you're not using it. You're just doing low-grade clerical work.
Yeah. For, like, the moment being, it's like, okay, now that I've had this done, now I don't need it anymore.
Yeah.
That's basically the mindset we've got in.
Done rather than doing it because you actually care.
Yeah.
No, but...
Well, yeah.
Have you guys ever had, like, does your school do Global School Play Day?
What?
What's that?
there was almost 500,000 kids around the world that participated last year. It's a day just to say, hey, play is important. It fosters curiosity, imagination, empathy, like a whole bunch of different things. There's tons of research on the impact of play. And even up to, like, universities are being a part of this, like Brown University participated, lots of high schools. Just saying, like, let's take a day, let's just hang out, let's play some board games, or let's spend some time just, like, letting the sponge, like, get some of the water out of it.
Shoot, and, man, that
I
sounds
wish
nice.
We had that.
Honestly, one day to, like, do that would feel so great.
Or is it just lunch and passing period?
It's lunch, it's passing period, and we have, like, a brunch, which is like a break.
Well, right. It's 10 minutes. Like, it doesn't really do anything.
Talk to friends, but yeah. Not do anything but stand and talk.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then our lunch is like just over half an hour. So.
Yeah. It's not much.
Yeah. So any other questions? Or?
Or juniors? Or?
We're seniors.
We're both seniors.
Awesome. Very cool.
Yep.
Yeah.
Any other questions or?
No.
No.
Well, thank you. Oops. Well, thank you for taking some time out of your day to hop on the podcast with us.
Yeah, of course.
Definitely.
And up next, we have Eddie's class. But Ryan and Joey not being here, we have a sub.
Hi, I'm Gabriel.
All right. So, to start off, what grade are you guys in and who are you and what do you guys like about tech?
I am in 7th grade. My name is Isabel, and I like doing 3D models.
My name is Naomi. I'm in 7th grade, and I like doing computer coding.
My name is Rosaria, and I like doing iMovie and 3D scanning.
Oh, that's great.
That's pretty cool.
So what did you guys want to talk to us about? Like, what's your tool or your cool classroom idea?
We use Tinkercad to build 3D models.
Oh, I know about that, too. I do some designing. Last year, I had a whole, like, project I did on that. I designed my own fidget spinner. So, like, what are some things that you guys have done with Tinkercad?
That we created.
Yeah, like, what are some, like, projects that you've done, like, in general?
We have done a project for science. We called it a cell city, which where we use different parts of a city to name, like, the different parts of a cell.
Oh, that's...
And I used it to decorate my room.
That's pretty creative. Wow, I probably would have never thought about that.
Well, I used it to make, like, an ancient China civilization and incorporate it with history.
That's pretty cool. So, you know, personal experience, so what have you, like, learned with it, or, like, how has it made learning in the classroom better?
Well, I used it, and since she said we did a cell city, it helps us, like, visualize how a cell works and incorporate into our community.
Okay, that's a pretty good idea.
What I did for computer coding is I had to make a website based on, like, science. So it helped me research my topics because I had to incorporate things that I should have learned from science. So I had to research my topics, and it helped me incorporate and learn more things that I actually didn't know.
That's good that you like coding. What type of, like, coding languages have you, dealt with?
SQL, which is actually the hardest one that I've done.
Wow, I haven't even took the time to look at that.
It's very difficult. I'm still learning how to do it. I'm not a pro at that yet.
Well, it's good that you're still getting the experience. Probably going to do something with that in the future.
Yeah.
So,
I use my to incorporate with, like, videos and stuff, like, to make other people laugh. And as you're doing it, you can still learn other stuff and things.
Oh, that's cool. So it's more of like a, you're engaging with other people too. So that's pretty nice. So how can this idea help other teachers and students in the classroom?
Well, it can make it more fun for kids. And like, so like, when they're on Chromebooks, they don't have to be all bored and like not do stuff. They can be on Tinkercad creating like anything they want to.
Yeah, I totally get it. And what about you, Naomi?
For one thing, like I said before, it helps the kids research their topics a lot better.
Yeah.
And if they use Tinkercad, they'd be able to like measure volume, cubic area, or like area for all that matter.
And Isabel?
It helps us and them how to like make things and be more creative and do something they like while also learning.
Yeah. It's your turn. You go ahead. You haven't been talking.
Welcome to the podcast where I don't talk. So how can or could the teacher use it in the classroom, like, oh, to make it fun or make the classroom environment better, I guess.
Oh, something that we have done actually that is really cool that Mr. Gonzalez had encouraged us is we had a tech club. And so what we did with it is that we went around and we went to a college, one of the college classes that that Mr. Gonzalez teaches, and we taught the adults or the teachers how to use Tinkercad. So we thought that was pretty cool how instead of teachers teaching the kids got to be the teachers for once and teach the adults.
And they were surprised that we know things that they didn't know yet.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
They said they didn't know that back then.
Did you guys like that experience? Like, was it fun teaching the teachers for once?
Yeah, I feel like a teacher. So cool.
You guys got any other, like, cool ideas that you wanted to share? Or maybe things you've done in the past, like any projects or something?
Well, me and Naomi, we got in Tech Trick.
Mm-hmm.
It teaches about math, science, engineering, and technology.
So it's basically a camp it's an all-girls camp. And it was a long process to make it in because first we had to get acceptance into interviews, which we had to write a 400 to 500 paragraph essay just to get into the interviews, which only 12 girls made it into. And then, 15 girls. And then only 12 girls got chosen from the interviews to go to the actual camp.
Oh, wow. That's a big accomplishment.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
Thank you.
I'm sorry.
I guess if you like have any questions about like anything for us,
how do you get like? Do you really like doing
podcasts? I'm gonna be honest with you. I wasn't really open with it at the beginning, just because what I do, like I stream, like I play video games and stream, right? So it's not necessarily the same thing, and it's hard for me to slow down my talking. So at first, it was hard for me. And I was really shy and not really open about it. But I guess as the year went on, it was a lot easier.
For me, I don't really do podcasts. This is like one of like a very few that I've done this year, actually. Maybe I can start doing more. That'd be pretty great. And just like her, I've been thinking about getting into... Well, she does streaming, but I've been thinking about getting into streaming for like gaming and stuff. Like, I'm sure you've heard of it, Fortnite.
Oh, yeah. It's a big thing at our school over here.
I bet.
So what kind of accomplishments have you guys had with technology or any at all?
Well, me myself, it's pretty cool because I can sort of relate to you for Tinkercad. I've been able to create things that people wouldn't really think of. And it's really fun because once you actually put in the time and effort to make this amazing like piece of art, and you actually print it out and you show people the looks on their faces when you actually like show them how it works and what it can do and how it can help. like simple little tools that no one has really thought about, or even just making other tools that other people have made better and improving on them. It's amazing watching people's reactions.
Yeah. So something we have actually done with Tinkercad is that we used a app called, not an app, but a website called Sketchfab, and we were able to use our Tinkercad models and upload them to Sketchfab to make them VR. So we have VR viewers in our class, and there's also links to
the VHR that you made.
To the Tinkercad thing that you uploaded, and you can look at it through your VR viewer or like through your phone just, and like walk around and look around the things that you created or that other people have.
That's cool how you made it interactive.
Or sometimes you just can't, but you can just like look around it.
Okay. Anything else?
Yeah, if you guys like have any questions that aren't just, you know, about podcasting or technology, like, you know.
I don't like doing this.
Do I like doing it?
Yeah, do you like doing that?
Yes and no. Yes, because like it's fun, but no, because it's super tedious. It's a lot of work. Like, yeah, our teacher gets us the people we can interview, but we have to make up the questions. We have to keep the conversation going, you know, and make it flow. So,
well, let me give you a little bit of advice. Like, when you're asking questions, you don't have to like write them down or anything. Just like think of the top of your head, like, oh, well, you like doing this. Why do you like it?
Well,
who taught you how to do it and other stuff? Be more convincing.
Well, yeah, but the thing is, it's a podcast, and it's like an informational podcast, not really just straight conversation. And we have a time limit on it as well, so.
It's a lot easier and more convenient for us to write them down beforehand, so we know that, so we know what to talk about before the time limit runs out.
Yeah, or we send them to the other person, and they can think of their answer
develop
before their date comes through, so we can interview them. I wish it was just like, oh, you know, on top of my head, but
yeah,
it really is. It can't be like that, but something like this.
Thanks for the advice, though.
Yeah.
How did you guys get into this in the first place?
So, okay, like I said earlier, he's a sub. He's not really one of the people that are one of those three who were the originals. So me, I told our teacher that I stream. So that came up with the idea of that. And then Ryan, who normally is the other guy who does audio stuff, right? And Pat had this idea of, I've always wanted to do a podcast. I never had the right people to do it. And he brought up us to the idea and was like, you know, if you guys want to try it, we can do it. And I guess as the year slowly came around, it was like, you know, we got this, we got that, you know, and we started buying our own stuff. So
for me, from my experience, the first time I was engaged in a podcast was actually her.
Yeah.
She interviewed me a couple questions, just like we're interviewing you guys. That was like the last time I had like a hands-on experience with this. But the reason I'm subbing today is actually because I just came in at lunch to see Mr. Platt, and he's like, you know what, go do a podcast. And I was like, all right, sweet, why not?
He did us.
Yeah.
He did that to us, too.
Well, I wanted to come because, you know, he's my favorite teacher, so I won't mind doing anything.
He's a pretty good teacher. He encourages us to do what we love to do, what we like to do. Fun fact, I did not want to do computer coding at first. He had to beg me to do it.
And then now that you did it, you like it.
A little bit too cheesy about it. A little bit.
He's laughing off this. He's like laughing so hard.
You see, you have to thank him now because now you know what you enjoy. If it wasn't for him, you wouldn't have ever figured out that you liked coding. You see?
Yeah.
And it'll help you a lot in the future too.
And now when he's begging other people, he brings me in to ask them to do it because like, he had to beg me. So like,
please recommend for me.
Oh, yeah, we convinced her to do coding, but she didn't like it.
Oh, okay.
She had to convince me to do coding.
That's fine. Not everyone likes coding. Like, even me. Okay, coding is all right for me. I'm good at it. I enjoy it to an extent.
Start.
The battery ran out.
Oh, I see. Yeah, I just see it. Oh, okay. Well,
we have to drop this podcast real quick because
we have to go home.
Okay.
All right. Well, thanks for being on with us today.
Yeah, thanks.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, of course.
All right, everybody. Our next guest here with us is Mr. Brent Warner. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Doing good myself. So just right off the bat, what do you do and where are you from?
I am an ESL professor at the community college level. I teach at Irvine Valley College down in, or I guess depending on where you are, in Irvine. And I teach mostly academic writing for ESL students who are trying to get up to, be ready for college level writing and maybe transfer into university.
Awesome. So going into our second question, what's your favorite piece of technology to use in the classroom?
Well, I guess since I'm a writing teacher, it's probably Google Docs. That would be my default. Most of my students aren't usually familiar with it when they get into my class. They're still kind of stuck on Word and just doing stuff at home, usually pirated versions of Word most commonly. And so we spend a lot of time kind of getting to know what it means to have a free resource that's doing collaboration activities and things like that. And often my students will leave and continue to use it outside of my class and going into their next classes. So I'm usually pretty happy with that. And some of them start figuring out the add-ons and all the other things that they can use to make it a better and more useful product for them.
That's awesome.
Oh, that's pretty cool. So going to the third question, what is your favorite piece of technology?
Is this just a broad question or is this
just broad question?
Okay. Well, I guess in terms of what I use actually the most is probably just, I would say my iPhone. I play around with that quite a bit and probably as much, maybe not as much as you guys, but quite a bit. I also really like technology that is singular focused. So it just has one purpose. And so the iPhone kind of does everything, which is really convenient and nice. But for recording, when I record my podcast, I don't think it's even available anymore, the Roland RO5. It's just a really simple, sturdy digital recorder and easy to use, functional, high quality. And so that's kind of my little baby Christmas present I bought myself a couple years ago.
Awesome. What is one thing you think all teachers today should know about technology, like for their classroom?
Oh man, just one thing.
I know there's a lot.
Yeah, you guys asked this question to most of your guests, right? What's your favorite answer so far?
Probably like, what was it? Don't be afraid to learn. Mm-hmm. Like that's a common one that we've gotten for teachers, because a lot of them are stuck in older teaching methods, like the methods that they grew up with. Mm-hmm. And so it's just getting them out of the habit of those methods and trying to evolve the way they teach.
Yeah. I would agree with that totally. I think mine's a little bit of a take on that. The way I approach it is try to meet your students where they are. So it's, it might be a matter of learning. It might be a matter, depending on your classes. For me, sometimes it's slowing down because I'm pretty into using the technology. And so it's about like, hold on, my students, a lot of them are adults or don't speak English perfectly or don't understand everything that I'm trying to get at. And so I have to be willing to slow down or to make adjustments for what their needs are. It could go the other way, of course, like you're saying, where it's like, hey, you got to go learn, you got to go figure something out.
Exactly.
Yeah.
In order to catch up with your students. If you're, looking at your room, it looks like you guys have some pretty high tech stuff available to you. Not everybody always has that. And so it's kind of a matter for me of the keyword I always come back to with when I'm talking to teachers about incorporating technology is being flexible and trying to figure out ways to do what you want to do with what you have. And so it's not always, we don't always have thousands of dollars to buy new computers and mics and all those things. Like I said, the students might not feel comfortable jumping in front of a microphone or a camera or something like that. And so, So I guess my advice is be flexible and be ready to meet your students where they are.
Awesome.
So what is something awesome you and your students are doing, or what you're doing with them?
With my students, I mean, the thing that I'm still continue to be excited about is just collaborative work through technology. Do you guys do that stuff in your classes?
Every now and then it comes up, just depending on the subject, but yeah, every now and then.
I don't get to talk to a lot of high schoolers about what they're doing, so I'm kind of interested. So in my class, we were kind of lucky enough to get a little computer lab wrapped around the outside of the class, inside the edges of the class.
Yeah.
And so the students often now will jump on their computers, or if they bring a laptop to class, they'll jump on their laptops and they'll share documents and they'll kind of work on building them together. A lot of them don't realize that they can do that, and they can use that opportunity to learn from each other and not just from me. And so I still find that pretty exciting. They tend to respond to it pretty well once they get the hang of it, once they get used to working together on projects. But it's kind of the same thing, like, as if you if you guys have group projects and things, you still have to do a little bit of management and figuring out who's going to take responsibility for certain things and who's going to who's going to do the graphic design, who's going to do the writing, who's going to do, you know, whichever responsibilities there are. So I just like the idea that they're getting into that. And then for me, as an ESL teacher, seeing them do that in English, where they're talking to each other in English and actually using the language skills, they don't think they're doing ESL when they're doing those activities, because they're mostly just focusing on trying to communicate with each other and pull up some technology. But I'll sit back and I'll be like, you guys are doing this all in English, and you couldn't have done this 3, 4, 5 months ago. You would have had no idea. And so that to me is really exciting. To see them work through their own second language or third language, whichever it is.
Yeah. That's pretty awesome. So what ideas do you have to take the learning experience, like, a step further?
So, one thing I'm building right now, we have a language lab, and, I'm building in the back of it a little studio for the students to do, video stuff. So there's like a green screen in there, and then also podcasting and audio recording stuff. And so I'm actually really interested to talk to you guys, because one of the things that I would ultimately like to do is hand off the create a podcast, and then hand off the responsibility to the students a little bit more, so that they take ownership of it, kind of like the same way that you guys have done here, it seems. And I'm really interested to hear from you guys about what your approach as students building this podcast and doing the work kind of on your own, or how much you're doing it on your own, and how much you're getting help from Mr. Platt, and your process for doing things, I guess, is what I'm interested in hearing about.
Well, so it was just kind of a little project that he brought up to us at the beginning of the year. Me and Daisy, like, combined, each have experience, like, either myself with audio tech, and then
I do streaming, so I'm used to being able to talk. And
okay, yeah. Okay.
And so, like, from there, he's like, oh, how do you guys feel about starting up a podcast? And we're like, sure. And then, it's kind of like, all right, what do you guys want to talk about? And, like, he's been getting, like, different interviews for us and stuff, such as yourself. And just kind of, like, rolling with it. He asks us what ideas we want to do, and we think of different segments. We make up a majority, if not all, the questions for the interviews and stuff. So we just kind of got kind of like, oh, here you go. Like, roll with it. Do what you want with it. This is your guys's.
Yeah. So I want to say we do like 80% of the work.
Okay. Just that's huge.
Really, because we make up most of the questions. You know, we do he does most of the audio and editing and stuff, and that just helps us with like some of the questions, like gives us ideas, and then, you know, and he gets people like you guys, like you, to come interview. So
not to mention he also helps supply the equipment. Yeah, so that's
that, the big part.
The big part, sure, to make this all happen.
That is huge. But but how do you guys how do you choose not the structure of the show itself, but like the schedule, like how do you schedule out the timing so that you guys are on top of your own responsibilities for, hey, we want to get this out every, was it a couple weeks or once a
week? Yeah, so
it's 2 weeks.
Yeah,
every 2 weeks. And like how do you guys schedule that part out, because this is, I'm assuming this is extracurricular for you. It's not, is it part of your class, or is it it's a side project?
This has been like incorporated into the class, so
okay,
basically this like takes over like any assignment he's given us. Then again, we are a small class, like yeah, we only have like 4 or 5 people in here.
Basically, okay, this class period, there's only 4 of us, so every one of us have a certain thing that we do by ourselves. Mm-hmm. And basically what happened was Platt thought of this idea, and this is our, what we do, this is our work. Like instead of doing like any other type of classwork, this is would be our work over.
So this is your final production, and so beginning to end, this is kind of set up as your class responsibilities.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
And then you've decided what you're doing for it all then, or
yeah,
he kind of gives like short little guidelines every now and then, but mm-hmm, it's mostly just us like, all right, here we go.
Cool. And are you graded on this? Do you create your own grades, or how does
he grades it
with previous expectations of what he wants you to get done, or is it you know, like, does he say, hey, like, how do you measure the grading if you don't know exactly what you're going to do before you go into the project, I guess?
Just kind of, like, the general product, I would say. Like, just as long as we get, in the episode, we get the things that we're supposed to get in, and as it just flows together, yeah, some might not be, like, 100%. Like our earlier ones, they weren't the greatest.
No.
But as we as we like got more practice, and then as we evolved, as you would say, or experienced in this particular like environment, then he expects more.
It started to flow more. It sounded a lot better over periods of time, rather than like it'd be a pause and then it'd be like a really long pause over, you know, like right now it'd be very small pauses.
Yeah, please don't go back and listen to my first episodes of my podcast. I'm with you guys there. So what grade are you guys in?
Oh, we're both seniors.
Yeah.
You're seniors. Okay, so the project's wrapping up for you. Are you handing it off to someone later, or
not that's, sure?
That's, yeah.
That's the plan Platt has. He wants to do, what was it?
He wants to bring in some either incoming juniors or just like,
or just like people who are willing to want to take up the plate and just want to learn.
Awesome. Okay, so I've kind of switched this around. I'm asking you guys all the questions.
No, it's good. It's good.
I'm gonna steal this project anyways from you guys and put it into customize it for my students. But what's the equipment that you guys are using?
Well, we got some MXL mics.
Mm-hmm.
And MXL 990s. That's the basic mic we've acquired.
And we go into a mixing board?
Yeah, we just have a small little, it's initially just 2 mics. There's 5 XLR ports,
mm-hmm,
that we have, but if you want to hook it up to like a compressor and stuff, then you gotta incorporate like more cables and stuff, because there's only 2 with like an insert,
right?
And the other ones are just left and right, so you just gotta work around that. We got power conditioner, headphone amp, and it's all just in a little box next to the computer.
And do you guys record down to a digital recorder or straight into the computer?
Straight into the computer. We use Audacity.
Okay. All right. And then what's your process for uploading then to get it podcasted properly?
We go and use Podomatic, and then that posts on Podomatic and iTunes.
Okay. And you have like a blog that you're just using for the RSS feed?
Yeah.
Okay. Nice. So not too complicated then, just a little bit of setup time and then you're ready to go.
Yeah, exactly.
Awesome. Well, yeah. So kind of to go back to answering your last question, this is kind of the type of thing that I want to do with my students as well, especially for language production type of things, having them feel a little bit more confident in their ability to speak English and to communicate. And then my real goal ultimately is to, once we have a podcast, either, I'm not sure if it'll be one big stream with several different shows inside of it or individual shows on separate, you know, recordable or separate subscribable podcasts. But what I would like to have is that the students are creating content, and then to be able to flip that back around into our own classes on campus here, so that other ESL students could then listen to the stories of their classmates or, you know, their upperclassmen or something like that, and then use that as resources for conversation, for projects that they want to continue to build. So hopefully it becomes essentially self-perpetuating.
Yeah, that's awesome. Just quickly, could you tell us a little bit about your podcast?
Sure. So it's called the EdTech TV podcast. It's about education and technology. I'm sure I know you guys have had a couple other EdTech people on the show too. We tend to be the ones who have podcasts as it goes. So I don't really focus on ESL all that much. I do some ESL stuff on the show, but it's really more for teachers, and sometimes students listen to it for some ideas about, you know, resources to look at. And recently I'm looking a little bit more at shifting it, whereas the idea with EdTech has always been, you know, a lot of technology type of stuff, but I really want it to be kind of the ed and the tech. So I want to be able to spread the show out to talk more about education that might or might not be technology related, and kind of has a little bit more pedagogy or, you know, practical things, practical mindsets to have for teachers and for students. And so I cover that. The show is usually just me, kind of just about a 25-minute format, but I do have guests on occasionally as well.
Awesome. Well, thank you for taking some time out of your day to be on our show.
Oh, yeah, I really appreciate it. I once I get my project going, I'll send some messages back to you guys so you can see and see if you approve of how I'm setting up my own side.
All right. Well, have a good day.
Awesome. Thanks.
All right, thank you for listening into episode 15 of Tech Tips with Tech Squad. I'm Ryan.
I'm Daisy.
And always remember, reboot. Have a wonderful day.
Thank you for listening. If you want to give us any feedback and or any questions for us, please subscribe on iTunes at Tech Tips with Tech Squad, or visit our website at bit.ly/Covina High Tech Tips. Come back in 2 weeks to listen in for another podcast. Have a wonderful day.